Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's always game day in Cleveland. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Thanks for being along with us. Again, we always remind you, if you like what you're listening to, subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed wherever podcasts are available to you. And we appreciate you, and we want to hear from you as well at Game Day Cleveland. All right, Darryl, so I kind of went on a rant in the last segment just about the production value of what we were watching and the ability to tell a story. Your thoughts on that.
Yeah, your job as the interviewer is not to be the star of the piece. And I felt like O'Brien ended up being the star of the piece instead of allowing those accusers to tell their story. And it felt to me like she was trying to prompt the accusers to say certain things. And that's just not how it's done. I respect the difficulty of the subject matter. I respect the accusers for their willingness to sit down, to be on camera, to talk about an experience that obviously was traumatizing for them. But when we're just talking from a journalistic perspective here, I don't think it was presented very well. And I 100% agree with you. They spent everyone knows what's going on with Deshaun Watson. You don't need to spend the first 5 minutes of the piece rehashing everything that's been in the news for the last year concerning Deshaun Watson. Get to the accusers. That's why we're all tuning in, to hear what they have to say. So I absolutely agree with your observations there. I think that, as I said earlier, it did nothing to sway the court of public opinion either way. And I already knew going in, and I understand why they do it. They put out some quotes because they want us to talk and write about it. The problem for HBO there was they released, as we call them in the business, the money quotes, right, the headline quotes. And they released all those. So when I watched that piece earlier this week, there was no new information that came out. I already knew everything, and I think that took away and did a disservice to the message that the accusers wanted to convey in those interviews. So yeah, I felt like it was a journalistic opportunity that was not maximized. And again, I understand how callous that sounds when we're having a conversation about what we're having a conversation about here. But that's, we're talking from just a journalistic perspective, picking this thing apart. We had both lawyers on the station this week, both Hardin and Busby. Both of them advocated for their clients, in this case, Rusty Hardin for Deshaun Watson. I thought he did a great job answering a lot of really difficult questions that I think a lot of us have about this situation. And, of course, Tony Busby on behalf of these 22 women who have accused Deshaun Watson of some pretty gross behavior.
All right, so let's hear from some of the stuff that was on during the week. And here's Tony Busby. And, again, Busby is the lawyer for the 22 plaintiffs in this trying to go after Deshaun Watson. And I don't know if that's go. They go after. I don't know if that's the right thing. They are accusing Deshaun Watson of, sexual misconduct and trying to settle this in civil court and not in criminal court. So I want to make sure I'm saying that correctly. But here's Tony Busby. He was on the afternoon show. And one of the big questions I've had is, how did this not go criminal? How did this not become a criminal case? And so the question becomes, how did two grand juries not indict or no bill Deshaun Watson?
The old adage is you can indict a ham sandwich. But the opposite is true as well. If the DA doesn't want an indictment, he or she will absolutely do what it takes to get that veil of protection. So nobody comes at the DA and says, you didn't investigate, you didn't charge this case when you should have. So I would suggest to you that the DA did not want an indictment.
Tony Busby, so I don't know. And I'll be honest, I asked another attorney about that, and this other attorney, who's a local attorney, said, and this was a prosecutor that told me and said essentially the same thing Tony Busby said there, that if a DA thinks they don't have enough evidence to convict, it's a hard struggle for them when they go to the grand jury and say, we need to indict this person. What'd you think of what Tony said?
Well, from a prosecutorial standpoint, they do not want to go to court without the ability to get a conviction. And if they don't have that ability, if their evidence is not strong enough, the last thing they want is to take Deshaun Watson to court in a criminal matter and Watson be acquitted. Their job as prosecutors is to plead their case in front of the jury and present evidence that will result in a conviction. That is their job. The defense, obviously, their job is to advocate the innocence of their client and get an acquittal. So, yeah, it totally makes sense that if there wasn't enough evidence, and let's be honest about it, Andy, when you're talking about sexual misconduct, sexual assault, alleged sexual misconduct and assault, this isn't just a Deshaun Watson thing. This is prevalent in these cases in general. It's very difficult at times to get convictions in these cases because of a lack of evidence. And part of the reason there is a lack of evidence, unfortunately, is because women who are traumatized by these crimes, they don't report them right away, or they don't report them at all for a variety of reasons. And that inability to have that evidence ends up in a lot of cases not being prosecuted, or it results in acquittals. And so in this case, because either the prosecutor's view and obviously the grand jury, there just was not enough there to charge Watson criminally. And so the other avenue for these women is to sue Deshaun Watson for damages, emotional distress and things along those lines. So that, that's where we are in this situation, is that just the reason he wasn't prosecuted is the prosecutors didn't have enough evidence to win a conviction. And oftentimes when that happens, prosecutors do not want to go into a courtroom with a case that they don't absolutely feel like they can win.
Yeah, I think it's one of the golden rules of being an attorney. You always have to know what the answer is before you ask the question.
Correct.
And when you look at a situation like this, it's like if they know what the answer is going to be after they ask a grand jury the question, you know, if you know, you especially as an attorney, you better know the answer before. The other thing, too, and I think you bring up a great point, is that, and I said this in our last podcast, and it's not only women, it's men, too, who are abused. And men are way less likely to report to the police when there's abuse or and sexual abuse going on, that they won't do it, you know. And so I think that, you know, I look at these cases, and like I was listening to the plaintiffs in the case, and I was shocked, especially at one of the things that was – I've read it before, but it was the first time I'd actually seen someone say it, and I'm just – I'm shocked because I don't always live in the case that we're talking about. I'm talking about – I always think about other people out there who may be abused, male or female, and how this affects them, and if this sometimes could empower them, but sometimes could also make them not want to say another word because they don't want to go through – they don't want to go through the scrutiny or the media or opening up their lives. And so it's just I always look at the bigger picture on these stories, whether it's right. Deshaun Watson or anybody else. So
because often what happens is the victims are put on trial. It is a defense tactic. A lot of victims just don't want to go through that again. Now the question becomes, you know, can they settle this in civil court? Certainly, I'm sure the Browns would like Watson to settle this thing. I think that the NFL absolutely wants this thing settled because they don't want this to continue to be in the headlines here perpetually over the next 12 months. And that is also something that Busby addressed on Afternoon Drive on the Fan.
First off, the release they gave us with all of the NDAs, non-disclosures, it was just not going to happen. I spent some time modifying that. And even after doing that, there were, I want to say, four women who just said, I'm never going to sign it. I'm never going to settle, period. So at first they said, to make this trade, we need to settle all 22. And then they said, well, maybe it'd be okay if it was 20. And then finally they said 18. And then I guess the deadline came and went, and that was the end of that. And since then, I am more focused on, the judge is pretty strict about her deadline, trying to get all the discovery, the work done, depositions and such by July. So that's what I've been focused on. And, you know, there hadn't been any talks that I'm aware of since. Nobody's mentioned it to me, and I'm certainly not going to raise it.
So Darryl, I think, I think right now we're at a point where that part just has to play itself out. Whatever happens in civil court has to play it out. It doesn't do anyone any good to speculate or offer opinions or conjecture about the civil cases. To me now it's about, is Deshaun Watson going to be available week one? Like that's the number one question. I say no. I think that Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended. The NFL has a lot of latitude here when it comes to the personal conduct policy. I think it's going to be very easy for the NFL to say to Deshaun, you've made us look really, really bad with these civil suits, so we are suspending you for that. Not so much for what you're accused of or what we in our investigation uncovered and think that you are guilty of, but you've given the league a black eye. And that's why we're going to suspend you. I think that ultimately, when this comes down, Commissioner Roger Goodell said they're close to the end of the investigative portion of this thing, that's winding down. So hopefully in the coming weeks here, certainly before training camp, I think we'll have some sort of a resolution. But yeah, I think that Deshaun Watson at this point probably is going to be suspended more for the negative headlines rather than what he's been accused of.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash.
Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So here's my question, because this is where the new step comes in, right? This is Sue Robinson, the federal judge. So now, let's say they settled today, okay? Or not settled. The league decides that they've decided, and I'm just throwing out random games, because just like you said, 8 games. Say they say 8 games. Then what happens is Deshaun's group appeals, or the NFLPA appeals on Deshaun's behalf, and now you enter into the new CBA. What happens there? Is the suspension frozen? Is it I don't understand what happens at that point.
Well, here's what's going to happen. First of all, I don't think that there will be an announcement of any kind until the process is completed, because that's typically how this works, okay? So
the NFL's process?
Yes. So
okay, not the legal process, the NFL's process.
Correct.
Okay.
Because that's what we're talking about here. So
right.
What happened is they will, once the investigation is complete, Sue Robinson will look at everything and decide whether or not he violated the conduct policy. And if that the answer to that is yes, then she'll recommend the discipline. If the answer to that is no, then we're done. That's it. There's no appeal.
Right.
Either, you know, the NFL can't appeal that. Okay. So then Deshaun, which he probably will, because that's his right under terms of the CBA, he'll appeal whatever discipline's handed down. Once the appeal is completed, then I believe we'll get the announcement Deshaun Watson has been suspended by the league for X amount of games for violating the league's personal conduct policy, and we're done. I don't believe we'll get an announcement that he's been suspended before the appeal process has been completed. And one of the big reasons why the league does that is to, not tarnish the player, so to speak. Because if the player wins the appeal, then the fact that he's suspended probably, shouldn't be out there. You know what I'm saying? So,
I don't anticipate
we're going to get any type of an announcement from the league until Deshaun Watson's appeal gets heard.
I respectfully try to. I don't know if that's what's best for the NFL. I like, if you're the NFL, you want. If you're the NFL, I think you need to announce that he's suspended and that it's under appeal. And that then they have the.
And then have a second announcement that you reduced it?
well, it's not the league that would reduce it. It's. And by the way, they're not going to reduce it. So, Sue Robinson can only. She can. There's really only one thing she can do. She can say, no, you shouldn't be suspended. It doesn't really matter what she says on the recommendation on the back end, based on all the stuff that I've read on this, that if she says he gets suspended for 2 games and the league has already said 6 going into it, it's going to stay 6. They're not going to change their mind. And that's because the NFL has the right, Roger Goodell has the right to do that. And I almost think, the NFL's in a weird situation here, because let's just say Sue Robinson says no suspension. Well, then the NFL can put their arms up and go, you know what? We wanted to give him 8 games. We wanted to give him an entire season, but because of the collective bargaining agreement and his right to appeal, we had a federal judge who's supposed to be impartial to both sides say, no, the NFL, we did our job. We came out, we recommended what we thought was the deal, and so this is where we are here. The other part of it is if Sue Robinson comes out and says, yes, you tarnished the shield and you're in violation, I think it's 4 games, and the league has already said 8, the league's going to be like, no, we said 8, it's going to be 8, and that's it. It's over from that standpoint. So I think there's some optics for the league here to say, you go back to that one soundbite they did play in the piece where Roger said, we're not going to stand for domestic violence, and Roger can go, we even went further than what the federal arbiter said. We gave him more games. So I do think that they need to say what the suspension is first, go to arbitration, and then come out with another verdict on this. And then you better hope that there's no new information and no indictments along the way. I do also think that it's better off that Deshaun Watson is, Deshaun Watson, if he does try to settle, and what we heard here is that there are 4 that do not want to settle, but if he does try to settle this case, to settle after the league makes their determination on what the punishment is. Quickly, agree or disagree on that?
Yeah, I think that would be reasonable. And that seems to be the focus of everyone right now, to get through the discovery phase of everything and meet the judge's deadline for that. And then the other part of the focus is waiting for the NFL to complete their investigation. Do they need to talk to Deshaun again? Rusty Hardin told us this week the NFL met with Watson for 3 days. Hardin also met with NFL investigators. And so it becomes a wait and see now. And again, the commissioner this week at the owners' meetings in Atlanta did say they are nearing the end of the investigative phase, and then it goes, it goes into the review and hand down the discipline portion of things, assuming there is discipline, and then, of course, the appeals process that Watson's entitled to.
Okay, a lot to digest there. I want to come back. I want to talk about the football impact of Deshaun Watson. So we're going to talk about that, what the players are saying about him, how camp looks, what's the feel in Berea with him being there. So we're going to hear about that when we return. It's always Game Day in Cleveland. If you like what you're listening to, remember to subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.